I'm going to read now from the first story in the collection. It's called At the Sound of the Last Post. The bugle call shatters the stillness of the shrine. Its familiar but haunting melancholy cannot fail to move. Even the president seems misty-eyed behind his glasses. Close to him in the widow's place of honor, I am aware of his every movement. I watch him without moving my eyes. Perhaps it is not mist in his eyes, but the film of my own sudden tears. The badges sprinkled on his sash of office shimmer and recede against the green of the material. He brings his hands together in a clasp that puts the sinews of both hands into relief. It makes him, for a fleeting moment, the very old man that he is. Unexpected pity wells up inside me. Half-remembered lines of poetry come unbidden to my mind. He grows old, he grows old, he shall wear the bottoms of his trousers rolled. There's a parting in his hair, where the white roots at his scalp show in the places that the dye has not reached. Does he count the years, and maybe just months and days, that remain until he too is sounded away by that bugle to lie beneath the blackness of polished marble in the empty space next to the grave of his first wife? The faces of the pallbearers are half hidden by the olive berets. The sun glints on the metal insignias on their epaulettes. Their sabers are reflected on the polished surface of their shoes. They lift the coffin and hoist it upon their shoulders. The flag that covers the coffin slides on the smoothness to reveal the casket of white and gold. The soldiers in the front move their hands simultaneously to keep the flag from slipping away. They march in a one-step pause, two-step pause, progression, until they reach the grave that is lined in green felt. The white man from the funeral home is stiff in his top hat and tails. Where do they find them, these white men with their pinched faces above their black clothing? There are almost no whites in the country now. Everything is black and green and brown and white. Black is the marble of the polished gravestones and the mourning clothes. Green is the presidential sash and the olive colors of the berets on the heads of the soldiers and the artificial shining verdancy of the grave. Black is the dark of the gathered masses who listen to the youth choir dressed for battle in bottle-green fatigues, voices hoarse in the August heat, singing songs from a war that they are not allowed to forget. Black and brown are the surrounding Warren Hills, the hills denuded, with stumps remaining where the trees were, the green trees now the brown wood that replaces the electricity that is not to be found in the homes. The bugle is still as the coffin is lowered. The sudden silence unsettles me out of my thoughts of presidential mortality. I get ready to move forward, to walk down to the grave. The president moves also, and I watch him, an old man still, but one who is commander of the armed forces, defier of imperialism, and, as he was just moments ago, orator at the funerals of dead heroes.